The topic for tonight is Mechira Chametz. I handed out two pieces of paper. One is what we call the Shtar HaShoah, one is what we call the Shtar Mechira. It doesn't have one, please take. Let us begin with an introduction. After all, this is Parshas HaChodesh. Time to begin thinking about the Dinim of Pesach. And we read on Shabbos, the Nisus of Bayiro Bayimotzer. We're not supposed to own Chometz on Pesach. So traditionally, we know to eliminate the chametz from our midst. How it's done, it's a machlokas in the Tanoim, they have to burn it, or could you just throw it out? But as years went by, there was an issue of heft and merubah. People who owned chametz, and to just throw it out, to burn it, would constitute a significant financial loss. And the question is, can anyone do anything about it? So, Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Mem Ches, the discussion. The context is a secondary prohibition. Aside from the Issa D'Oraisa by Yor by Yamot, there's an Issa D'Rabbanan called Chometz She'over Olav HaPesach. If Chometz was owned by a Jew on Pesach, it's prohibited even after Pesach Bahano. So, we are taught that if a Jew wants, he can give a goy a matana gemura, v'li shum tanai, or shim karenala mechira gemura, he can sell it to a non-Jew. I mean, that's the end of it. Okay, that's obvious. Leirola chocham et shalcho yataroa, avala taroa shalachayim, not a problem. So, this was the next stage, it would sell it to a goy, and whatever he paid, it's better than nothing, right? If you don't sell it, it's worthless to you. They sold it. It was a pretty disadvantaged position for the marketing and negotiation perspective that the Jew had, but okay, whatever he got, he got. After years, they began a different system. They would sell the chametz to a goy, and reach an understanding that after Pesach is over, as it says in Siv Dalet, that was Tav Mem Ches Gimel in Siv Dalet, Rasho Yisro Loma Lagoy B'sho Hei Okodem Ashat Aloke Chomet B'mon Kach Mosayim Shema Tzarech V'Kachrenem M'cho Achar HaPesach. You can say, you know, maybe I'll buy it back after Pesach. So the Mishnah Berurah of Gimel, Achronim Kosvu, the Rashoi Afilu Lahavtiach, to promise the guy, Sheyachzav Yiklim Yimeno Vidal Lo Revach, give him a promise to buy it back from him after Pesach, and even give him a profit. So he puts the Gimel and Siv Dalet together, this started as the entire institution, which we know colloquially as Mechiras Chometz. Siman Tov Mem Ches in Arachai. However, this Mechiras Chometz is fraught with possibilities of goofing up. And therefore, let's try to analyze it slowly so that the Talmidim here are already a fourth year smicha. They could be having, they have pulpits already by now, or assistantships, so maybe next year they're already be in some out-of-town place with no one to help. So you really have to learn this carefully. Traditionally, an individual who wants to sell his chametz to a non-Jew approaches the rav in the shul and says, "Could you be my shliach, my agent, to sell the chametz to a non-Jew?" It's important to understand this because some amaratzim think they're selling the chametz to the guy, to the rav. Rabbi, I want to sell you my chametz. I don't buy any chametz. I have enough chametz of my own. I'm not buying anybody else's chametz. I'll be happy to be your agent to sell your chametz to somebody else. That I'm willing to do. I'm not buying your chametz. It's important that the people who understand on both sides of the deal, the meeting of the mind, the sellers have to understand, the buyers have to understand, the rabbi is simply a broker. Yes.
I know that some Rabbanim, when they have people who are going, let's say, Eretz Yisrael, so the Zman and Eretz Yisrael starts earlier.
We'll talk about that.
Some Rabbanim will buy it.
What's that? Buy it? Caveat emptor. Buy at your own risk. I would rather not do that. But we'll discuss a different way out of that problem. Now, so typically we believe that a shliach can be appointed just by word. I hereby make you a shliach to do X, Y, or Z. No more than that is needed. However, in this context, traditionally, two additional devices are employed. One, so we call Kabbalah's Kinyan. It's traditional that when the Balabos comes to the Rav, picks up the handkerchief to authorize the rabbi to sell his chametz to the guy. The Rambam writes about these kinds of customs that ain't b'hem tam. Doesn't make halachic sense, this handkerchief. What does a handkerchief achieve? It's just simple shlichus. But the Rambam says that that's the custom, and still is the custom, despite ein lehem tam, it's still done. And I can understand there is some tam. It just makes it more serious. It gives an extra feeling of it's a really a serious enterprise, not just a joke. That's number one. Number two, it's traditional that this shlichus be strengthened b'chsav shtar shah. Some of us learned about Bakama this year. Of Ayin, his whole issue was about our shah in a somewhat different context. But it's sort of similar that you a shlichus, which is written down on a piece of paper, is a more powerful shlichus. And therefore, step one in this whole Mechiras Chametz process is the fact that the member of the community go to the Rav, authorize him to sell the Chametz to the non-Jew.
Whose handkerchief is used? The Rav. The Rav says, take my...
I usually use my pen, as a matter of fact. For a reason.
Another person should pick up the pen.
Right. That's right. Now, as a preliminary remark, maybe people who are in a rush to sell their chametz, they wanna appoint the rabbi as soon as possible. There's a slight problem with that, because according to a simple pshat, if a person will appoint me to sell the chametz today, make me as his agent, and will then buy additional chametz after today, and he will not consume that chametz, but will want it to be included in the sale, it's a serious problem whether it's in fact included. Gemara tells us that if iu lamotzi ovid, if you can't do it yourself, shliach lamotzi mashvi, you cannot appoint an agent. I can't sell what I don't have. I try therefore to wait a little bit until I assume that people, whatever chametz that they plan to sell, they already bought.
That they're buying chametz after the sale of the...
After the authorization. If they buy chametz after they authorize the rabbi to sell the chametz for them, there's no subsequent authorization. Whatever they bought in that period of time, at first glance, cannot be sold by the rabbi on their behalf, because at the moment that they authorize them, they didn't own that chametz.
Can they put a clause in the authorization that any subsequent chametz that they purchase will also be included in?
Probably not, because it's again the davar shelo b'leolam. Probably not. What they can do is reappoint the rabbi subsequently without all the fancy written stuff and the handkerchief. That's not ma'akev. So if they do that, it's good. But people don't always realize that. Yes, sir.
Can you post it a shlichut, say that you are my shliach as of?
That's the sugya without last chain kiddushin in the third parak. That's complicated. Not so simple that would work. Anyway, that's just an aside. I try to stall.
You try to stall.
I try as long as possible to hold off and not go to, you know, open for business, if I may use that expression, until say 10 days before Pesach. By that time, I'm getting so antsy.
Indicate to people that they shouldn't be buying more
chametz. I tell them that, but you know, you tell, but they're going to go figure out everyone in the household is going to go buy a box of Cheerios there. So. I once got a Shabbos, I got a Rosh Hashanah, but the we can perhaps fetch out a cooler that maybe it's good, but not so simple.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go into all my drushes about these and yonim. I'm trying to stick to the basics. Okay. Fine, that's step number one. But even this authorization has to be serious. Has to be a serious authorization. Otherwise, it doesn't mean anything. So in order to make it more serious, I've always attempted to have the owner of the chametz itemize. The same as you would sell anything else in this world, you would itemize it. You want to know what it is, where it is, and what's it worth. So if you look on the form, if only you have in front of you this star harshah form, I hope everyone has one. If not, please come forward and take one. I, the undersigned, fully empower and permit the Rav, whoever he happens to be, to act in my place instead, in my behalf, to sell all chametz possessed by me knowingly or unknowingly. Why do I add unknowingly? You may have chametz you don't even know about. So, not completely clear that it really works, because he doesn't know about how can he really sell it, but of course the chametz does work. As defined by Torah and Rabbinic law, and to lease all places in which chametz owned by me may be found, especially at, that's my address, and the chametz I possess includes the following. It's not limited to this. It just includes this. So you write the kind of chametz, groceries, liquor, medicine, toiletries. Even though Rabbi Shechel just passed on that medicine is no problem. And toiletries is also a big machlokes. Do you speak about that? No. It's also a big shot. What are we throwing in? People want. Exact location, kitchen, pantry, living room, cabinet, etc. Approximate value. Date, signed. And, since I picked up from my neighbor and colleague Rabbi Rosenblatt, printed name. People sound like doctors. You can't know what it doesn't mean. Anything. What, you know, who in the world he is? How is he going to know the guy? What he owns? So we put the printer name. Even that though is not always so clear. But that makes life a little bit easier. Okay. So that's how we. This is a core basic star harsha above the first dotted line. Good. This is the star harsha. This authorizes the Rav to sell the chametz to the non-Jew at the proper time. Now, what is the proper time? So, take this year, for example. This year, the Pesach is Monday night. The proper time for Mechiras chametz is Monday morning. When on Monday morning? Well, the sale has to happen before the end of the halachic fifth hour. Once the sixth hour sets in, on a rabbinical level, all the chametz also b'hanah, but it can no longer be sold. It's a well-known dispute how we calculate the hours between the Mogen Avraham and the Gra. When it comes to Pesach, we try to be strict. And have the sale concluded, we try before the end of the fifth hour, according to the Shita's Mogen Avraham. Ironically, even though we usually follow the Gruff of the Rises, which is Man Kriyashma, but when it comes to the Sister Abonon, we somehow follow the Mogan Avraham, because Chumah the Chometz. We try. Yes?
What about if you're selling for Sfaradim and the early Zman of the Magen Avraham, it's not being Mahmer, that's the Zman. Then is that person then over, because they appointed an Ashkenazi rabbi who's going to be selling after that Zman?
Well, I can't vouch for that statement. I would ask the rabbi to make sure he sells before the Mogan Avraham Zman. If he comes to me, I can take care of it. Of course, there's another, you don't want to start too early, because until the end of the fourth hour, people can actually be eating the chametz. And, you know, we try to avoid mixing in what's being eaten, what's being sold. Fine. Now that we're going to be, according to the latest congressional edict, Pesach is always going to be in daylight savings time. I'd be as gold tzedek unless they change the edict. So that makes the Seder much later, which is a problem, but it also makes the Mechiros Chametz much later, which is makes life a little bit easier. You know, those early morning wake-ups, that doesn't no longer apply. Let me go on. What about someone who is in Eretz Yisrael? All of us by now have Balabatim who fly to Eretz Yisrael for Pesach. It's wonderful. How do we handle them? Well, this raises another issue. A very serious issue. What if someone goes away for Pesach? Not to Eretz Yisrael, goes to the Catskills. Is he required to do a Bedikas Chametz before leaving? If you look at the Mishnah Brura, at the end of Siman Tov Lamed Vav, this issue was raised. In Mechuyav Livdok Bolel Yedalad, Hachadorim Shebedat Olamocho Olamocho Lenochim Achomet Shalahem, Yesh Deos Beno Achronim. Some say yes, because right now the rooms have not been sold, and they're right now yours. Even if they were sold, there's a question who's sort of in charge of them at the present time. The Binyan Olam says no. No need for a bodega, because you're going to sell it tomorrow to the guy. That itself is a tashbisu. And it's the same as if you found chametz after the bodega, that you keep it till tomorrow to eat it for breakfast. Listen, don't people keep breakfast? I don't know, most homes, maybe that's not true anymore. They go eat out somewhere. But you know, traditionally, you keep the breakfast cereal. What's the difference if you keep a box of Cheerios for breakfast for all the kids the next morning? Or you keep 50 boxes of Cheerios, which you plan to sell to the guy the next morning. In other words, B'dikas Chametz does not mean there's nothing left. So in the case where you don't sell it, there's only one box of Cheerios left. If you do sell it, there's 50 boxes of Cheerios left. What's the difference? The Binyan Olam says. And the Chasam Sofer says that's also a logical thing, but the Chasam Sofer likes to be a mitzvah B'dika in at least one room. Just because the mitzvah B'dika, the Minchas Chinuch, such a mitzvah exists on the Rabbana level, which is parallel to the mitzvah d'oraisa of burning chametz. I have no chametz. Should I go buy chametz in order to burn it? That's a question which we're not going to go into in detail. The minigas to be make on the shaila. And at the time of the sale, then all you should say explicitly, the room and everything that's in there. Everything there. Not just plain, I'm selling you whiskey. Everything. Despite that fact of the Mishnah Brura, the Mekilim have a very strong basis. Nonetheless, Hamocha B'Yom Yud Gimel Shapir Odiv Tvei. It's better to sell on the 13th. It's on the 13th, so by the time for Bedika comes, you ready? It's not yours. This is known as the famous Mechiras Yud Gimel. So, what I've been doing for years already is make a Mechiras Yud Gimel for two sets of people. One is those who are traveling to Eretz Yisrael. That's how it started. Because those individuals, that if I wait till 10 o'clock in the morning on Erev Pesach, it's too late. It's ready for the afternoon is too late to sell. But I put into that same Mechira even someone's going to the Catskills on the grounds that, look, if I make a Mechira Sid Gimel, this makes it more cow with respect to eliminating the obligation of Bedikas Chametz that subsequent evening. I run into trouble sometimes with the guy because some people go to the castle, won't leave until the next morning. Here I'm ready to get out the previous evening, and here they're not leaving until the next morning. I ask them, please, you do me a favor, there's some people who just can't get out that fast. Would you mind if they dwell briefly in the area which is rented, already rented to you? Oh, Rabbi, you know I don't mind. And that's what we do. We try that. It's not ideal, but since they forthcoming, so it's halakhically permissible in that kind of a case. Okay, that answers your other question as well about the early sale. Now, it was mentioned before by Rabbi Shefter Shlita that the ideal is that the Mechiras Chametz precede the Bira Chametz. That's clear, because a person is supposed to fulfill the mitzvah, presumably, only if he burns his last kazayis. If I burn 10 kazaisim and I keep another kazaisim, I'm over by all by a month, I wasn't the kind of anything. No tashbisu in that case. Since I have so much chametz I'm going to sell, So when I burned it before that, I really haven't burnt my last kazayis. So we have in our shul a fire right outside. We're just about finishing the sale process. We start the fire, people throw in their chametz, and that's after the sale is concluded. Don't have to burn in my fire, I can burn in someone else's fire. If it's impossible, they can, those who have the minhag of burning, which is the minhag of Ramah, should burn early in the morning before they go to work, or wherever they're going on a trip. And in my view, there's still a good chance that they mekayim the mitzvah of tashbis of the kum vaseh, because if you look at the Rosh of Psachim, in the second parak, the Rosh gives an impression that one can fulfill tashbisu as it says tashbisu sa'or mi batechem. You eliminate the chametz from your home. Selling it to a guy would presumably be included in that. So if you sell your last kazayas to a guy, it's arguable that you'll fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu even in a positive sense. So then those who can't burn later should burn earlier and rely upon that.
Better keep the shliach to burn for
you? Maybe better. Make sure the shliach remembers. Speaking of Botechem, he was shown to say that Botechem doesn't literally mean in your home. It means what we call in your control. Some of us learn about Bakama, if you know, that Ma Beso Shalo, Avkol Shalo, Ma Beso Brishuso, Avkol Brishuso. That means, Botechem means Brishuschem, under your control. We don't have control, the pashtus is, you're not in violation of Bayro Bayamatsu. This is again a Rosh and Psochim. Ramban talks about it. To my mind, that's the only possible leniency that I can really think of in the context of what you own in terms of stocks. You heard before that it's advisable to sell stocks. When you list off your chametz, I should really put inside types of chametz, groceries, liquor, medicines, toiletries, stocks, etc. The reason I don't have it there, because I don't believe I can sell, I'm authorized to sell stocks. There's some attorneys here. I don't believe if I put down a name, I have 5 shares of General Motors, and of course they have liquor all over the place, right? That's going to be, I'll sell you my shares of General Motors with this piece of paper. To my knowledge, that's an absolutely invalid sale by all understandings, both in terms of American law and even in Jewish law. What are you selling? It's all on paper. You can't just sell it. However, in my view, one could possibly be lenient on the grounds that the liquor owned by General Motors is, to put it mildly, an obishusi. It's not in my control. If I walk in to General Motors with a stock certificate and say, I'm a part owner of General Motors, I like that bottle of Johnny Walker Red, it'll throw me out of my head. I can walk into General Foods with 10,000 shares of stock. Say, can I just please have a box of Cheerios? 10,000? Don't throw me out. But I'm a part owner. I own at least one box of Cheerios. Go to the store, pay $1.50 and buy it. Not going to give it to you. That means it's not in my control. Ain't over shoot so. So of course, in my understanding, that might be a possible leniency why I'm not in violation of Balyarua despite my ownership of a certain stock. And in my view, if not for this leniency, putting it on the piece of paper here probably won't work, because I don't think I'm really able to sell that stock for it. That's why I didn't put it down. Every year I have Shechla, she comes to me with a form, writes down the stocks, we have this conversation. Mm-hmm. He says, okay, so I'm not going to cross it out. So that's what happens. He thinks I'm Popeye. I can sell stocks. I don't think I'm so powerful to do such a thing. But if he thinks that way, so I feel as if I had a nice vote of confidence. And I don't take it out. We'll see later. Even though in my view it may be an invalid sale, but we'll see that doesn't compromise anyone else's sale. We'll see that when we get to the Shtar Mechira. What happens if a person goes away for all of Pesach? Whether he goes to Eretz Yisrael, or he goes to the Catskills, or he goes to his in-laws. So, how can the guy get the chametz? So the Mishnah Berurah is extraordinarily strict about this matter. And Siman Tov Mem Ches. The question is, there were certain people who would sell the chametz to a non-Jew and proceed to lock the premises. So there's absolutely no access for the goy to come in and get the chametz. Says the Mishnah Brura that in that kind of a case, in all likelihood, the sale is invalid because the goy simply can't get in. So what kind of sale is this? So this accounts for the next little piece in this document, which you completed. You wait for the whole paper. I specifically authorized the rabbi to sell all chametz located anywhere in my home at the above address. As you mentioned before, the Mishnah Brura, you have to have specifically all the chametz, at least my entire home. But there are some people who want to follow the chasam sofer. They want to be mekayim and bedik in one room. So for those chasam sofer yidden, have in parentheses, with the exception of blank. In other words, to say the living room, that I'm going to take that out of the sale of the rest of the house. On Mekayim B'dikas Chametz on the living room. If I do it on Leil Oral Arba, I'll make a bracha. I do it earlier, it will be without a bracha. Some people go away for a Pesach, and the whole eating part of the house, they leave filthy. But there are people staying in the house, guests, who are eating by the next door neighbors. They divide the house in half. So they have to, you know, the eating part with all the kitchen and the dining room and all that stuff, that they just put up a partition. That all belongs to, that's being leased out to Mr. Brown. We'll come to him in a second. And the other part of the house, with the exception of the bedrooms and the bathroom, that you're gonna, because that's going to be used by your guests. There are many different permutations over here. And here's the key. No pun intended. The keys to my home can be found with blank at blank. Now I'm tempted to update it instead of putting address, put it on cell phone. Because that's even a better way to get in touch with the guy. Right? Cell phone. Is anyone in this room right now as we speak who does not have a cell phone with? Two of us. Okay. But these days almost everyone walks around with a cell phone. So Mr. Brown wants to come and just call the cell phone right away. Bingo. Okay, we have to see if we can update it. Meanwhile, we have a dress, which is also good.
Another strange question. Are you doing a non-Trump person, like non-Trump parent, are you doing them any favor by selling the chametz under them? You know they're going to go and they're going to be eating and you're just going to leave it there. So you gaining anything by...
If they really mean to sell the chametz, the answer, of course, the question is, of course, is yes. Any little thing we can gain, we try to gain, if they really mean it. Promise they may not mean it. And will that compromise the entire enterprise? We'll come to that. We'll come to that. Yes?
Why do you only need to give away the keys if you're going away for the entirety of Pesach? Let's say the guy wants to get my... Let's say I got a family for the first days. Let's say John Brown wants to get into my home.
Listen, everyone understands that reasonable access is reasonable access. No one is home all the time. So wait a couple of days. I think that's considered to be reasonable. Okay. So this is the traditional Shtar HaShoah. Every single person filled it out, and they give it to the Rav, they pick up a handkerchief, and then the Rav in Erev Pesach goes through a whole series of kinyanim, which we'll see in a moment, and starts a Shtar Mechira. There are some machmirim, Rav Henkin quotes in the Sefer, who say that the fact that there's a Shtar HaShoah here and a Shtar Mechira there, what puts them together? Rabbi Rosenblatt comes to me, his Rav in Baltimore taught him to staple it together. He come with big staples. Staples, spends 10 minutes stapling everything together. The Shtar HaShoah, the Shtar Mechira, everything. Staples. Rav Henkin's Alvis suggested what he called the Shtar Mechira Bekitzer. So put a separate document. That's what I do. A typical individual, this last piece does not exist on my Shtar HaShoah, the last few lines. I have it without that in much bigger print. And I have this same expression, this same language, on a separate piece of paper. And I want everybody who comes to me to sell the chametz to take his pen, pick up my pen, and then write separately his name, his address, and the value. in my presence. By doing that, I think it makes it a more serious kind of a sale. But people sometimes don't come to me. They fax.
Or if they notarize it and fax to you.
Don't need to notarize it.
Oh, well, that's like a demonstration of seriousness.
Okay, I'm not opposed to notarize. That doesn't matter. My first introduction to the world of faxes, how old is faxes now?
Wow.
20 years? About 20 years ago, I think it was a little less than 20 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. I never even heard the word. I had a Talmud about it on the West Coast. Maybe I want you to send my comments. I said, but you're on the West Coast. No problem, I'll fax you. I'll say, what? I'll fax you. But my first chila shimushi with fax was an era of Pesach, was someone that faxed me a form. I didn't have a machine, it was in someone else, maybe they had a machine. And he faxed it. This is magic. So it works, so in order to do that, I put the shtam mechir bekitzer for those who faxed me on the form. So let's read it together. I, the undersigned, hereby sell my comments to John J. Brown. That's the non-Jew that we use. We'll explain to later what a tremendous smilus of the Pesach Goy are. 279 West 231st in Bronx. That's his business address. It's a Robert Hill. It's a real estate firm. I also lease the place where such chametz is found at the above address to Mr. Brown for a period of 10 days. The sale and rental are to take effect on blank, corresponding to blank before blank. So if it's, let's say, for example, the morning sale, it would say, take effect on Monday, April 2nd, 2007, corresponding to, this is an imperfect form. There should be a little line after the word two. To 14 Nisan. Whoops, you see, it's really about out of date. I didn't look carefully. It's already a Shtam Mukta. 5, 7, 6, we're holding. This is already 10 years old, the Shtam. But okay, I pulled out of a file. This is shared by way of example. Don't use this one. Before, whatever this man is, what is this man? This man today is, even the Mogan of Rome's man, probably about 11:30 a.m., something like that. The most strict version of the Mogan of Rome's man. I'm estimating. Further details concerning all the above are recorded in the above power of attorney form, which is here, and a lengthier document of sale. Okay? Then he's supposed to, of course, sign his name. It's another problem with this form. It's not a perfect form. There's no place to sign. So he's supposed to sign, and he's signing the bottom. That's going to start Mechira Bekitza for those who use this kind of a type of a form. I'm sorry I pulled an old one out of my phone. It's wrong on many counts. But get the general idea. Okay? Any questions? So now, how do we go about the Mechira? How do you do it? What do you mean, how you do it? Just learn Hilchos Mechira. What's the problem? The problem is, the Hilchos Mechira with respect to two Jews is quite clear based on the Gemaras. Hilchos Mechira between a Jew and a Goy is anything but extraordinarily complex. What, if any, can you work for the Jew to sell Chametz to a Goy? Quite complex. So the Rishonim say, well, it's a machlokas, it's a kesef, it's a meshicha. If you do both, you can't go wrong. Kesef and meshicha. So that's the advocate. That won't work for us. We have meshicha. The guy's going to come into everyone's house and start pulling everyone's chametz out into a simta or to rishus. It's not shayach. It cannot be done. Kesef can be done. It's a machlokas gedoli or Rishonim. Machlokas goes back to the Gemara. What? Whether Kinyan Kesef applies, right? So according to some, it does not. Dvar Torah Mos Konos Kesef works for Israel, and as it says, Okono Miad Amisecha, and it's Dvar Torah, and the Gemara says Amisecha is the Kesef, and for a Goy it's B'Meshicha. Something Fakert Yochanan Rishlokish. We cannot do Meshicha. Practically speaking, we're in trouble. So the first Kinyan we do is Kinyan Kesef. After all, maybe it's going to work. Now, what do you mean, Kinyan Kesef? The Goy will pay me for the chametz. Pay me for the chametz? First of all, it's a fortune. Second of all, how do we know how much it's worth? How do we know how much all the chametz is selling for 100 people? Who knows what the chametz will be worth? It's impossible to know. Just because we ask them to estimate how much it's worth, they could be off by 2 to 1. And the Goy is going to pay more, pay less. Impossible to know. So what we traditionally do, the Goy gives a penny for every person. The pennies to be worth at least a pruta, although what is silver worth now? What is silver worth now?
Like 13.
Yeah, I have a big problem now. I have in my document 1 cent for every person, then I'm going to have to open it 2 cents. The goyim have to come in with twice as much money. Because as long a pruta is approximately a thousandth of an ounce of silver, approximately. So for many, many, except it was one, I used to use a nickel. And you know about the story with the Hunt brothers in Texas? 30 years ago, somebody was crazy. They artificially jacked up the price of silver to over $50-something, $50 on that. So even a nickel wasn't even, it was dying, it was crazy. But that was just artificial, the whole thing collapsed very quickly. And it's been under 10 for 30 years. But just now it started creeping up again.
That's Peter Navin, and they said it was like around 13 recently.
13, that's wild. So he made it 2 cents per person, 1.5 cents per person, whatever it is. Think how to do that. He counts it with coins. Truth is, he probably can come with dollar bills, but somebody gives him, first of all, something like dollar bills, coins, he clunks down with, makes it, he puts in rolls of quarters, and he gives per person a penny. Maybe I can have to up it this year. This is a serious issue. Okay, can you catch it? It works or it doesn't work? What if it doesn't work? What else? We can't rely on it. What do we want? We have to do something else. So we try a few other direct kinyanim. One of them is what we call chalipin. Those ones Tosfos Kiddushin of Gimel know, big machlokos, ben atama, tashach. Does chalipin work between Yisrael and the guard? Some say no. Right. The pasuk says in Megillah Trus, this is also fun to be Yisrael, ala gula ala turah shalaf ishnala, finas l'reyeh. Only if it's the fun to be Yisrael, reyeh. Others say no. It works. We try it. Can't hurt. Then there's what's called common commercial practice. Sometimes in certain communities, you shake hands, for example, that's considered to be the finalization of the sale. Shake hands. So we shake hands. So we have now three kinyanim, each of which is suspect. Kesef and Chalipin and Titumta. Titumta means a minigas sofer. Good. But we still may be falling short. So in order to be able to better effect the sale,
Sunday.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
I was just guessing.
Guess. What did you say?
Sunday. Kenyan Sunday.
Kenyan Sudar.
Kenyan Davi Kuzin. Sunday.
Property. Okay, very good.
Sunday.
Real estate. Correct. Because real estate. Real estate works in one of two ways. One, which seems to be a home run, you can't miss this one, is Kenyan Chaser. So I'm a Furush Gemara and Masechta Avodah Zarah, Bepshuto. A Kinyan Chatzah works for a non-Jew. That's what we're really banking on, Frank, the Kinyan Chatzah. There's one Shita, Chasam Sof, as a Svarah, that only works for a female Goya. Why? Because the question, how can it work for a Goy if Chatzah mitam Shlichus and Shlichus a Goy? Some suggest, okay, but Chatzah also works mitam Yad. That's derived from Gedisha. Maybe it only works for a female guy. When I moved into Riverdale, my first Pesach was 1974. It was a rude awakening. That year Pesach was on a Sunday. I had no recollection of that ever happening. None. My whole life, I never recalled it. It hadn't happened for 20 years before. Well, 20 years before I was a baby. I had no recollection. I said, what? Pesach on Sunday? I don't know, what do you do? Gewalt. It was my first year Pesach. I don't know. We won't go into that right now because it's yet not on Sunday. So I lived in a two-family house, and the downstairs neighbor was an intelligent non-Jewish couple, but he went to work. He wasn't going to help me out with it yet. So she was with a child. I'll do it for you. So I had the additional mila of having a non-Jewish woman. Of course, the question became, what about shaking a hand? So I asked the ethicist, and he said, you have to do it. No, we don't pass against the ethicist, God, the children. We have to do it on time. So I did it. Okay. Anyway, for those who don't know, we'll figure it out. After 2 years, this lady moved out. Moved out? So the first 2 years, eventually moved. I didn't know what to do. Well, where do I find a guy? I insisted on an intelligent guy who would understand what I'm doing. I'm not happy when certain rabbis use the janitor who barely speaks English, you know, and he doesn't speak Spanish. So there's no communication, doesn't understand it. And this woman was a sophisticated lady. She was in business. No, you know, she. So came at that very year. That was 1975. First year 74, 75. That year in the spring, in the summer, our shul bought a new building. The building that we have ever since then now, that some of you have seen. And the real estate agent was a man named John J. Brown. He was the agent. He sold the shul, the building. And one of the people from my shul was active in the purchase, said, "Hey, I have a great idea for you, Rabbi. I want to call up my friend John J. Brown. May he's a perfect Pesach guy. He understands the deal. He really understands it. That's his whole job, as a broker, real estate. He understands the deal. He has three or four incredible miles. Number one, he understands the deal. He understands contract law. We'll see soon. The contract law, he understands that too. Number two, he's wealthy. So if it comes to paying the money for the chametz, he can afford it. Number three, when people write down in their houses, I sell you the stuff in the basement, he's been there. He sees he's been there. He's been inside almost every house in Riverdale. As every real estate house, everything's changed hands over the last 30 years. So I think he's the perfect individual. We've been using him ever since. So right now, it's already over 30 years, believe it or not. So when I learned Sochem with Talmidim in 1994, I learned Sochem, and they said, let's meet this John Brown. He came to Yeshiva. And I gave a shiur. I was still teaching him first all that Talmidim. And he spoke to them about the Mechiras Chametz, and he sat next to me, And the Talmidim tried desperately to trip him up. Surely there was a bluff and this. And I remember distinctly one of the Talmidim was there, one of the biggest jokers ever had in my shiur, ever. He's now an OBGYN. So it's interesting that I hope he doesn't do that in the same joking way that he used to joke with me in the shiur. But he tried best to trip him up, and he failed. The guy answered every question. Zing. Although the Rabbana would understand this thing as well as he understands it. All of a sudden, one year, my contact said, uh-oh, we're in big trouble. John Brown just turned, I think he said, turned 55, something like that, whatever the age it was, and his father died of a heart attack at that age, and so did his grandfather, and he went to commune with nature. Waldo, we have a Waldo Avenue. He could have gone there in Riverdale, but he went upstate to chop wood and to whatever. And I don't know what to do. His mom is missing. He was AWOL for most of a year, but somehow I think I'm not kidding around. He felt an achrayus. He said, "Calls me up, Rabbi. I've been most of the year up in chopping wood or whatever, and my farm was in my way up north." And I'm coming back. He walked in that year, I couldn't believe it. He was completely unshaven. In other words, he had grown a beard for a year. He had a longer beard than almost any other Rabbanim who was doing business. He still has a beard, although it's been trimmed since then. And every year, he spends most of the year, but he comes back once in a while to do real estate. And he calls me to make sure that he's coming at the right time. He arranges his vacations around this. It's tremendous. There's only one problem. About 7 years ago, I think it was, approximately, tells me that one Arab says, "Rabbi, I'm going to be in Jerusalem in December." "John, why are you going to Jerusalem?" "My grandson is celebrating his bar mitzvah." In B'nai Brak, was once a case like that. They found out that the first person who bought the paper was an Arab, really Jewish. He said, "It's okay, Rabbi, don't panic. It's an intermarriage. I already forgot which way it is, whether the child really is Jewish or not. I keep forgetting whether his son is married to a Jewish woman or the other way around." But there's a P.S. to the story. That December, my son, who lives in Eretz Yisrael, went to the plaza hotel in Jerusalem to meet Rav Shechter Shlita to pick up something, package or something around him. It was December. He says, "Double take, he meets you, he knows from all the years. That's John Brown." He says, "Excuse me, are you Mr. John Brown?" Says, "Yes." He says, are you from near do business in Riverdale in real estate?" "Yes." "Well, my name is Willig." "Oh, yeah." Turns out the amazing thing happened. He says, he tells my son, "I came in for a bar mitzvah of my grandson. But the entire family is chickened out. It was intifada. None of them came. Not his children, not his grandson. But he said, I'm old enough now, I can come. I'm not afraid of any intifada. He came. That's kind of a little bit about John J. Brown. So he's, 1 year he tells me, Rabbi, what would happen if I would expire in the middle of the Passover holiday? I said, John, we pray for your well-being all year long, but especially during the Passover holiday. Well, seriously, he asked me. I said, well, seriously, you know, if that's what happened, we would have to deal with your heirs. You know, we believe in Jewish law. There are children that inherit, and, you know. He's also an expert in the date line, Mr. Brown, because, you know, we keep telling him that we have people who are in different time zones, and we have to, we sell it to him early, we buy it back late. Some of them in California. So I've had people going to, believe it or not, Hawaii. I don't think it should be for sure. It's not a place for a good Jewish boy. Although he'd probably be the ads, you know, Rabbi X, Rabbi Y is in Hawaii. It's wild stuff. So John, you know, we have a dispute among our rabbis. Is Hawaii closer to considered like California? That's how the non-Jewish world assumes. It's the latest place in the world. Or is it in advance of China? Japan, the same, a similar question. So we're going to play it on both ends. You know, we're going to sell it early, and you want to buy it back late. Okay, I know about this in my real estate, because when he comes back, he comes twice. He comes Sunday, like this, I already made up with the time. He's going to come Sunday at 6 o'clock. You can come meet him if you want. Next Sunday, April 1st. It's not an April Fool's joke. Sunday, April 1st, he's coming to my shul at 6 o'clock p.m. Coming again Monday, 10 a.m. And again, the following Tuesday night, Motzoi Pesach, I think 8:45 or something like after Marav is over. So we meet him at 8:45. We ask him, Mr. Brown, we tell him, it's crunch time. Can I come up with the big bucks? You know, these people, millions of dollars, what's it, all this. What happened is that our Mechira's comes became sort of a mega event. This sort of happened gradually. First, just their local Rabbanim in Riverdale, and then some Rabbanim, well, my Talmidim started taking positions in Teaneck, and then it started in the Queens, and people coming from all over, so it became an event. So I say, so I represent them, and you know, maybe sometimes they come from Riverdale too, and I say, John, you know, it's crunch time. So he always gives me the same answer, but before I give you his words, let's take a look at the Shtar Mechir. We have to end by 9, and I can speak to you for hours about this. I mean, this is a... Let's try to end on time. So the agreement is made on a date. Okay. Eastern. Now we can change the Eastern daylight time. It's always daylight time now since Congress changed the law. Rabbi X with his address, agent, and John J. Brown with that address, the buyer. I'm just quickly scanning it. People want to sell the chametz. It's all these weird ads about the lawyers. They empower the rabbi to sell it. And whereas the buyer wants to buy it, now therefore, so he sells the chametz, and the buyer agrees to buy the chametz, which from whom? From those who are on the individual inventory sheets of each seller. The rabbis often say, John, some forms got lost in the mail. They authorized it, but it got lost in the mail. We want to include them in our sale. Does it work or not? I hope it does. I'm not sure, but we mentioned it. Because, you know, when people, the rabbi opens his mail that afternoon, here the shtar comes in. The term chametz, 5 times the grain. So how do you do it? So the buyer agrees to pay the agent the sum of the estimated fair market value of all chametz is determined by the 3 recognized experts according to the accepted market value of New York City. How you pay it? 1 cent per night. I may have to change to 2 cents. And the rest on or before, and he gives it the last day of Pesach. And the standing is that the sale is absolute and effective immediately. If the balance due is considered a debt from buyer to seller, the non-payment of which shall in no way affect the validity of the buyer's title to the chametz sold. In other words, if he doesn't pay me the money, so he owes me money, but the sale is a sale anyway. Not a tonight. Now, so what happens? So let's stop right over here. So what happens when Pesach is over? I said, John, the rest on before, it will be April 10th. Today is April 10th. Put up the money. Rabbi, I find myself in an embarrassing financial situation. I find myself to be illiquid. Which means he has money. But it's tied up in real estate, tied up in stocks. He doesn't want to sell his stocks to buy the chametz. Illiquid. Say, John, you know, we agreed before the Passover holiday, in case you want, we'll buy it back from you. Rabbi, I would prefer that option. So he goes to the three kinyanim. What are the three kinyanim? I give back all the money. The money I had in my lack of a pay, so I give back the whole ton of money. Shake hands. It's Khalib and Fakert. I give him something. He gives me back all the chametz. But there are some people who are in California. For them, I want it to be effective 3 hours since. Rabbi, we have that in real estate too. I will do an acquisition now, but I want for tax purposes it should not take effect for the next calendar year. So we have this, you know, he knows about contract law. He knows the malacha. Okay, next. Risk of loss and loss of value is borne by the buyer. That's a little risky for him. No, if it goes down a little bit, mele, risk of loss, the whole thing gets burned up, and he has to pay for it. The first one is always insurance these days. Anything big, we have warehouses, we have people with businesses. But aside from that, I wink at him, I tell him, John, just remember, the only copy of this document is in your hands. Wink, wink. But strictly speaking, he bears the risk, because otherwise it's a question of Kabbalah Zachrayas. If he straws Zachrayas, it's a problem. Although most posts can hold that the, and that's coming to the next thing, if the property in which the chametz is found is, belongs or is rented out to a non-Jew, so it's, if he draws achrayas al chemso shel akum bebeis ha'akum, pashas is okay. That's one of the reasons that we rent out the area to the non-Jew. We'll see the other reason soon. Next paragraph tells you about the chalipin, the tumta. These additional methods, a very important line, are employed because of questions about the effectiveness of each method. It is emphasized that each sale and method of sale is independent and therefore unaffected by any invalid sale or method of sale performed in this agreement. So if one guy is selling his stocks, it's no good, doesn't matter. If one guy doesn't meet the sale, it's no good, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. If kesef is no good, doesn't matter. It is further agreed that the agent, in behalf of each of the sellers, hereby leases to the buyer closets, cabinets, storage rooms, garages, basements, and other areas of the premises which the sellers where the aforementioned chametz might be located, including the location specifically enumerated upon the aforementioned inventory sheets, and including further any, it's supposed to be a yud instead of a dalet, right? Any other locations within the premise of the sellers where such chametz may be found. Now here's it with the I forgot to point out on the paragraph the term. It says including but not limited to all items specifically enumerated upon the individual inventory sheet to be sold. That's not limited to that. If you forgot something, that's number one. Now here you get the kick in parentheses. It's only parenthetical. In the event that any of the sellers may be tenants of the premise they presently occupy. In the event. If it was an apartment, it's a tenant, although now it was co-ops, not so. In the event. With respect to such sellers, this provision shall be intended to convey a sublease of the areas where such chametz may be located. Sublease. The people ask me, sublease? It says in the small print, you're not a sublease. To which I answer, they don't have this in mind. They mean a sublease, I'm going to walk in and make noise and then make dirty and John's not moving in so fast. He has a place to live wherever he lives. This is not does not go against the understanding, the more global understanding of the lease agreement that you have with your landlord. The duration of this lease agreement shall be from, again, that time, April 2nd, 2007, before 11:30 a.m., to, whatever, 8:45 p.m., Eastern Daylight Time, on April the 10th, 2007. In consideration for the foregoing rental provision, the buyer agrees and hereby does pay to the agent an additional sum of 1 cent, you have to make it two, each of the enumerated sellers. In addition, the aforementioned methods of exchange and handshake are used to effect the rental. Now this one. By dint. This is the best translation of the Chassam Sofer. You wrote it in German. Use the word kraft. Kraft means in Hebrew mikoach. And the best dint literally means strength. By dint. Maybe a stickle lawyer here. By dint of this exclusion of his rental agreement, the buyer also acquires ownership of the all aspects of the chametz, which is hereby transferred to him in best legal form. Agav, Kinyan Agav, Metalton Agav Karka. It's a big shah, it works for a goy, It's a shayla. Tzayis talks about. Further, by virtue of the buyer's rights in these rental storage areas, all of chametz contained therein is acquired to the buyer chater. Chater should certainly work. Pashat even works for a male. Okay. In the event that the power of attorney forms authorized the agent to lease the entire home, the agent on behalf of the sellers hereby leases those homes entirely to the buyer. That's parallel to this conditional provision. It is further agreed that the buyer should have right to access to the premises of the sellers, each of them, in order to gain access to the respective storage areas that they hereby have described. In the event the buyer should require keys to gain access to any of the premises described herein, they should be made available to him upon reasonable demand to the agent. Not that split second. Wait till after Yontif. I mean, first day Yontif, not there, not till after Yontif. Expressly intended by the parties, the two agreement shall be barred in the court of New York and endorsed the laws of the Torah. The rabbi and the buyer sign it, given over by the rob together with all the shtari harshah in a big pile, gives it over in front of Adam and Seer, just to make it even more, since it's not related. And then John says, the deal is done. If you see the movie, you'll see that the keeps it, the deal is done. The way we do it in our shul, every rabbi does his own sale. I know some gedolim, they didn't do it that way. Every rav would appoint the rav, the main rav, as his agent, shliach, also shliach, and then he would just one sale to the guy. I'm nervous to do that for a variety of reasons. It's not so clear that it really works. Plus, look at every rabbi have his own day in the sun. It takes a long time. You have some of these 30 rabbanim in there. Each one's going through John Brown, and then they're going out, and they're running away, and they're burning the chumas, and John's left with the last few rabbanim there. It's an interesting, you're free to, feel free to come if you're in town. Come either Sunday night, when we have fewer rabbanim, and Monday morning there are usually many more. Yes?
Is the reason you're leasing the closet cabinets first, that's to be able to use a kinyan to have a kinyan?
For two reasons. The kinyan agav and chater, as well as to help you avoid the problem of achrayas, in case of any achrayas. Chomet shal goy ben b'reshus or shal goy, even though you saw as achrayas, those are the two reasons. By the way, kinyan shtar, this is a shtar, right? Shtar can achieve a rental, but a shtar cannot sell the chametz directly. So just to review, we have five kinyanim for the chametz. Kesef, chalipin, tzitzumta, agav, chotin. We have four kinyanim for the rental. What are they? Kesef, chalipin, Tumta and Shtar. A lot of things going on over here. On any questions, I'm supposed to end in 3 minutes. Yes?
Adam are only, do you only eat them in terms of Mesira?
You don't really need it because the Ikara didn't. But we have Adam. We have to wait.
And Ben, so you don't need any signature or anything?
The rabbi signs. That's
and
that's
then
that's
just the two times you just need the
I don't use Kinyan Udisa, which is written in the old forms, because according to most poskim, Kinyan Adisa works for the person himself. It works for my chametz. It won't work for you. If you authorize me, I can't do Adisa. If you admit, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you're admitting to it, creates it. But it's not so posh that it really works. Yeah?
Do you avoid all the stuff if you just give it to the guy and you say, here, it's yours?
You can if you want. Kiss it goodbye. Yeah?
How does one orchestrate how we can?
Orchestrate? That's a very fancy term. You ever been at a wedding?
Yes, but just I never up? Understand what is actually happening. So who owns the handkerchief?
So in this case, the person, right? The person, for example, it's what's used that we call Caleb, right? The Machlokes in the Gemara in Masechta, in Masechta Baba Metzia. We assume Chalupa is simply an exchange, symbolic exchange. So the person who's gaining something has to give his handkerchief. So in Erev Pesach, Mr. Brown gives me his handkerchief. Right?
The buyer.
Kershel Kona. So on Motzei Pesach, I give him my handkerchief. Okay, that's it. Simple. Nothing to worry about. On any further questions? Any final questions? Yes?
Well, just as the Rosh Hashiva was made killed by subleasing, even though it's illegal to sublease, but since
it's not illegal. It's against the contract. It's not illegal.
Uh-huh. So I was going to ask the same require we should apply the same code for stocks. Even though when there's only allowed to sell stocks to a stockbroker, there may be...
There's no comparison. Sublease, there's nothing illegal about it. Just I made an agreement. I said I wouldn't do it. But I can certainly do it. That's Shechiras Karka. But stocks are an abstraction. The only thing that could possibly work is Situmta. But Situmta has to be Situmta. The Situmta is, you go to, you give the deed, and you give it, whatever they sell stocks. I don't know how they do it these days, or computers, whatever, but not with this piece of paper in a shul somewhere. Okay, no further question. I wish you all a chakosh of a sameach. One final question, we'd have a marv.
Yeah.